Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I need to get my kids ready for back to school.
Well, Staples has everything they need at low prices, like comp books for just 50 cents, so they'll be 110% ready.
Wait, that's 10% more ready than totally ready.
Yep.
That extra 10% evens it all out.
Sorry?
Well, I'm usually 10 minutes late getting them to school, so.
That doesn't even it out.
Yeah, sure it does.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples, make more happen. Right now, Staples 16-gigabyte flash drives are just $5.99.
Offer valid while supplies last. Limit 5 per customer. Ends 8/29/15.
And joining me in the Show Me State of Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm looking forward to this show. We've got some great guests, and I know a lot of great information, and it's always fun to learn about new riding destinations and campgrounds. So going to be a good one. Why don't you tell us who we have joining us today?
Well, today we have Robert Eversall, our own Trailmeister. Then we travel to Witt Springs, Arkansas, and talk with John Stallings and Barry McAlfish at the Cowboy Up Trails.
All right, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, I forgot to ask how you're doing today.
I'm doing wonderful.
Good. Well, are you ready for our own Trailmeister?
Yes, I am. Robert's always full of good information and good topics.
He really is. Well, we remind our audience that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors in the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net, and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about TrailGuard today at trailguard.org, and by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with them online at trailheadsupply.com. So grab that big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in the saddle, and when we come back, we'll be talking with the Trailmeister, Robert Eversall, on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I'm back in the saddle again. Now where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed, I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. I'm back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-yo, rocking to and fro, I'm back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-yay, I'll go my way, back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again.
Well, we're getting ready to saddle up America with Robert Eversall, the Trailmeister. And Robert, welcome to the show.
It's good to be back. I feel like I just got out of the saddle, let alone getting back in again.
Well, you've kind of been hitting the trails a little bit since you were with us the last time. And I think you had a neat trip back up into the Bob Marshall, didn't you?
Yeah, I went in into the Bob for a quick four-day run. I wanted to try out a new pack saddle on my wife's little circus pony. And I am glad to say that it worked out wonderfully. Didn't slip a bit,
which is always
a good thing in the mountains.
It is always a good thing. It's always a good thing. So where'd you go? What'd you do?
Oh, I went in from the west side of the Bob Marshall. And for folks that are in the know, or even the ones that aren't, the Bob Marshall is just this huge expanse, 1.5 million acres. I can't even grasp that in my head. And on the west side of it, in western Montana, near some Sublink towns like Condon and Sealy and the like. There's a trailhead called the Owl Creek Packers Camp and Trailhead. And so went in there, and you gotta like trailheads, you know. They've all got their own flavor to them. And for Owl Creek, there's one main trail, and it goes from Lower Holland Lake and Owl Creek to the appropriate Upper Holland Lake. And there's a time restriction on it, which is kind of nifty because the trail is, shall we call it sporty?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
That word.
I'm familiar with your sporty now. Hey, what is it? Tell us what a time restriction is.
A time restriction is depending upon the direction of traffic, you're only supposed to go at certain times of the day. So,
okay.
Because they want everybody off the trail, so you don't have head-on traffic, because that goes back to the sporty part, because there's not a whole lot of room to get around in case you meet somebody coming head-on.
Right, right, okay.
And that first step could be quite the doozy.
Yeah.
So they ask you to outbound traffic, leaving the trailhead, going up into the Bob Marshall, up to Upper Holland Lake, and where you can really, you know, spread out from there. They ask you to not to leave any later than 9 in the morning, because it takes a few hours to get, you know, up that 6 miles of trail, you know,
okay,
up to Upper Holland Lake. And so you want to leave just as early as you can, you know, so you don't interfere with the outfitters and stuff like that. And then when you come back, they ask that you don't start down the trail, you know, heading back to camp, back to the trailhead until after noon. So, you know, like I said, you just don't want to run into people in certain parts of that 6 miles. It wouldn't be fun.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, back here in the East, we're not familiar really with those kind of guidelines. You know, you just get out and you ride. But yeah, that's kind of interesting. So
it's an interesting place, glorious place, just spectacular. You know, it's mountain country, so it's high country. You know, you've got some steepish, sporty type areas, but gee golly, the price of admission is well worth it for the places that you get to see and the places that you get to go.
So you were out there for 4 days.
Correct.
All right. So what all did you travel? Where did you travel, and what did you see?
Oh. Okay, so where did we travel? Well, we made it to Upper Holland Lake without incident. From Upper Holland Lake, I erred. And I went a place I probably shouldn't have, because I just asked a whole lot of the little pack animal, probably a little bit too much. Got kind of worried about her, because we went from Upper Holland Lake, and we went up probably another 1,000, 1,500 vertical feet in elevation over the course of, I don't know, probably about 2.5 miles to a place called Sapphire Lake. And Sapphire Lake, our friend Andy Breland,
mm-hmm,
Trailhead Supply.
Right.
Yes.
And his television show, Dead End Express, if you remember the insulin episode, and Bob... on the TV show, when they found Bob having his insulin incident, that was at the bank or the shore of Sapphire Lake, and I wanted to see it.
Oh, God. All right.
So went up there, and gee golly, it was spectacular. It reminded me of an infinity pool. So it's this high, high alpine lake, and it just seems to go and, you know, drop over the side of the mountain into a waterfall.
Wow.
You know, it was pretty phenomenal. Now, the day I went, the skies were the color of dull lead. And we had some rain and some thunder, which I didn't care for at all. But then it warmed up, and the sun came back out. But the first day was interesting. Like I said, I asked little pack animal a whole lot, and kind of felt bad, you know, we want the trails to be the happy place. Don't want to work them super hard. So that was the first day, and then we made camp at a place that I will mention it because I'm thinking the chances of people knowing exactly where it is are slim because a good fisherman never reveals his prime fishing spot, right?
That's right.
But we were in the Necklace Lake chain. How about that?
All right. So were you catching as well as fishing? Because we've talked about that before.
Now, did I mention the catch word, Gary?
No, I just had to ask.
I prefer not to answer because it's embarrassing.
Now that's a fish story you don't say.
Oh heavens! I was doing some fishing. I did very poorly at the catching.
Right.
So, but such is life. I had a ball. Found a great little campsite with good grays, and we stayed there for a couple days. Just did little rides out, and it was phenomenal. Big cliffs on one side, looking up at them, and big lake, you know, not too far from the campground or the campsite. There aren't any campgrounds, you know. You just
right.
see what you can find. I always like to say that a good campground is found, not made. You know, so you know. Go ahead, Tina.
I said that was good. A good campground is found, not made. I love that.
Yeah, well, you know, even in the Bob Marshall, you're going to find places where other people have camped, and that's fine. So kind of like to reuse and, you know, what other people have used in the past. You know, why make another fire ring? Why clear an area if you don't have to? You know, I kind of like going into these places and pretending like I'm the first person that's ever seen it.
Yeah.
We've
never talked about this. Let me just ask this question because we've never discussed this on any of the shows. What do you look for in a good campsite?
Oh, what do I look for? A refrigerator and a kegerator?
Yeah.
a hot shower?
Good luck.
The things I look for in a good camp area, I look for graze and water for my horses first and foremost, because they're getting me there and they're getting me back, so I have to take care of them, and I don't typically carry feed for them. I just don't have the livestock to do it, so water and graze first and foremost, and then I look for a place not right on the water. You know, I don't want to camp on the shore of a bank, and in a lot of places you're not allowed, especially with equines, so you know, a few hundred feet away, but that's really my big thing. Of you,
you look for high ground. You're not looking for a low spot, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, I'm looking for you know, flattish ground, maybe a little bit of a roll to it. Last thing I want to be is in a dip, like you said. That would have been bad that first night that we were in.
Yeah.
Exactly. Had a nice little puddle, I'm thinking, or I guess I could have called it a sauna.
Uh-huh.
Ground that's going to drain, you know, and ground that's going to drain naturally, so I don't have to try to dig a trench or anything like that. And, you know, I think one of the big things to look for, you know, especially with livestock, because we're setting up high lines, things of that nature, you got to look up to make sure you're not tying to a dead tree that could fall, or there aren't any widowmakers, you know, hanging above you. I think that would be a terrible way to wake up in the morning with a giant stick across you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's not huge numbers of things, just a few things, you know, water, graze, safe place to hang the hammock for the night.
All right, and a good view if you can find it.
A good view if I can find it. You know, it's always great to have that first cup of coffee, you know, with a pretty view, you know, behind the horses as they're grazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty neat. Now, So you spent a couple of days, I guess, getting up there, and then a couple of days while you were there, and then the fourth day going back?
That's correct. That's right. Correct. And coming back, you know, I asked a whole lot of the ponies going up. It was pretty much straight up the whole way. So going back, you know, and me being me, I didn't want to go to the same place that I'd gone to before. So I wanted to, you know, try a different, little bit different route.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down and then a nice gradual up and over and back down. And on the way back, we saw along, let's see, the big Salmon Creek drainage. There was the most fabulous waterfall I wandered past. I bet it was 75 feet tall.
Wow.
It was something. Big, big pool at the bottom, rushing water coming over. It was an impressive sight. So made a great place for lunch.
Yeah. Now you do take your camera with you when you're doing these trips like that.
I do, but I found a problem. I found a problem with this trip. So I've got my riding horse, and I've got my reins in one hand, right?
Right.
I've got my pack animal. I've got hit, and I got her lead in the other hand. I need another hand. Most times I go on trips, and you know, most trips I go on, I don't, you know, pull a pack string behind me. You know, most of the time I'm going to ride drag and keep an eye on stuff, you know, load shifting, things like that. And I can take lots of pictures. Just keep that, you know, I'm a lousy photographer, but, you know, if I press that button off enough, even I'll get lucky occasionally.
Yeah.
But on this trip, I think I took 8 or 9 pictures the whole time.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was just... You know, you're trying to steer a little bit. You're trying to, you know, to keep the pony behind me, you know, behind me. And, you know, it's just the pictures weren't in the mix. And for that, I'm kind of sad. But at the same time, they'll always be seared into my brain pan.
Right. Well, now, you know, a real cowboy can ride with reins in his teeth. So you'll have to remember that.
I'm not a real cowboy by far.
Always reminds me of that Rooster Cogburn movie, you know.
Oh, heavens, that was a glorious scene.
Yeah, that was great. That was memorable. Hey, listen, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a real topic that we want to talk about that is kind of important with this hot weather that we've been having and a lot of the humidity across the country. And been strange weather because it's been changing all across North America, and so you may be riding in a place that normally is pretty pleasant, but you know you're getting hot temperatures. So we're going to talk about how to take care of your animals and yourself in the heat when we come back. But right now we have to take a real quick break and talk about one of our great sponsors, and that is Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. With Trail Guard, you have unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help you plan your trip, and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Robert Eversole and Tina Mae Weber on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Ride all the lonely night, ride through the day. Keep the herd moving on its way. Weep all ye little rains, wail winds wail, all along. Colorado Trail. eyes like a morning star, cheeks like a rose. Laura was a pretty girl, God Almighty knows. Weep all ye little rains, wail winds wail, all along, along, along the Colorado is the sky. Wish I'd stayed in Abilene, nice and warm and dry. Weep all ye little rains, wail winds wail, all along, along, along the Colorado Trail. Stars are fading in the sky, the day's gonna break, sun will be arising soon, everything will wake. Weep all ye little rains, wail winds wail, all along, Colorado Trail, all along, along, along the Colorado Trail.
Well, that's the Colorado Trail with the Horse Crazy Cowgirl Band, and I was listening to that, and I was just thinking, with Robert's description of what he had seen in the Bob and listening to that, I don't know why everybody isn't out riding the trails.
Well, it might be because it's so gosh darn hot. It's August.
Oh, gosh. Well, that is true. That is true. And, you know, one of the things that people have to think about all of the time is taking care of themselves and their horses, but all and their dogs, if they're like Tina May and take Taz with them. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the key things, Robert, that people need to be aware of, both for their livestock and for themselves, when they're dealing with some of these high heat indexes that we deal with?
Well, I think varies a bit for different folks. I know during this time of the year when it's real hot, you know, I'd rather take prevention rather than have to treat a problem after the fact. So I try to plan out my trips around the heat. So when I head out, you know, if it's the forecast is for a hot day, you won't generally find me trailering, you know, during the middle of the day, you know, and asking the ponies to sit in back of the easy bake oven going 60 miles down the road. So instead I'll leave, maybe 3-4 in the morning. Now my wife doesn't really like getting up that early, but she just sleeps in the passenger seat. I'll try to plan out things for that. Now once we get to camp, always try to put the critters in the shade, things like that. And then I just put the water to them. I'll put the electrolytes to them, anything to entice them to drink and drink a lot. You know, going down the trail, if it's hot out, might annoy the people behind me, but I'm stopping pretty much every stream crossing, especially if I don't know, where the next one is up ahead. you know, to see if they'll get a little bit of water in them. So those are some of my big things, you know, after a ride, you know, let's get some water in them, you know, not huge amounts, but some. Let's cool them down. Let's sponge them down. Heavens, that sounds good to me after a ride as well.
Right. Well, that's a good reason for taking your wife with you.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, I would think, too, one of the things that if you know the trails that you're going to be riding, to make sure that you're not taking those tough inclines and high elevations, you know, during the heat of the day. Try to get that done in the morning and kind of plan your ride out a little bit would be.
Exactly. You know, it's all about, you know, thinking beyond your nose, I call it.
Right.
You know, if you see the trail is going to be crossing all sorts of contour lines on your trail map, on your topo map, you know, let's make sure we're going down as opposed to having to climb during the hot part of the day.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, things happen and you're stuck with it. But, you know, there's a lot that we can do to, you know, be proactive. And I'll schedule a route, you know, just to avoid the worst of the day. And, you know, there's a reason why siestas are so popular south of the border. What a great thing to do. Take your ride in the morning and then one later in the evening and take a nap in camp the rest
That's
of
right.
the day.
That's right. That's a good time to do a little fishing, even if you're not catching.
Exactly.
Tina May, what about you?
I know that
you have air conditioning in your trailer for your horses, so you don't worry about that traveling. And then you kind of sleep during the middle of the day, don't you? Tina May?
No, I have no air conditioning in the back of my horses. But, however, that's funny you said that. There have been times if it's extremely hot, and I have a choice. I will ride early in the morning before the crack of dawn, and then I will have my horses back and in the shade and chilling out, and then go again in the evenings. I love to ride in the evenings. I do that a lot. If it's something that I'm going for a day ride, there's been a time that, you know, I try to plan my hot day rides around water, where I know that there's going to be plenty of water for my horses, or at least a watering hole somewhere. And I have been caught where the watering hole was no longer there. And I like to keep either like a cold Gatorade with me for my horses. And if I have the ice in the saddlebags, there's been many a time that I have watered my horses out of my saddlebags as well. And if they do seem to get really hot, I like to put a cold water up on the behind their ears up there by their pole to cool them off. And it's just, you know, you can watch for signs. I've been lost on hot days and made out for a very long ride. And watch your dog. I mean, I travel with my dog, so I keep my eye on Taz as well to make sure he's doing okay, because he's trotting the whole time my horse is walking, and he does usually twice as much trails because he'll run up and check and come back. So it's just something to be aware of, and, you know, just be ready for anything can happen. Just be prepared for that. Hopefully you don't have to use anything. I like to carry electrolytes with me in case I do need them.
Right.
But take precautions. I think that's the smartest and the best way to do that.
What about the way people should be dressing for hot weather, Robert?
Oh, well, you know, I care more about the beast than I do the people. So... You know, but I would say, you know, dress as lightly as possible. You know, that being said, you know, even during the hot parts of the year, I'm still wearing long sleeves and the helmet. It might be a real, you know, a thin synthetic kind of shirt, you know, as opposed to my winter, you know, long sleeve wool jacket.
Right.
But I do wear the long sleeves and, well, the helmet. Although there's times I've really wished for a traditional cowboy hat for that brim that keeps the sun off the back of my neck.
Yeah, I think Light colored clothes helps, but always, always have a pair of pants on and boots.
But Tina May, you said people shouldn't wear shorts and flip flops?
Oh my goodness, that's just a little bit. and I wear a hat. I wear my cowgirl hat. You know, there's a purpose for that. But light colored clothing, lightweight, breathable clothing is always good, and always your pants and your boots.
So terribly true.
Well, I think pants are important when you're out anywhere in public. So I mean, it's always good to wear your pants.
Now, one. Oh, Evans, this has taken a whole different twist.
I want to find out what the purpose of Tina May's cowboy hat is. Tina May, is that because people wouldn't recognize you without that black hat on, or what?
You know, that is funny you say that, but I actually get that. People don't recognize me without my hat, and then I'll go someplace where I don't know a single soul, and they come up and they tell me, you know, you're Tina May Weber, and I'm like, yeah, and they said, I recognize the hat.
Yeah, and you've got your pants on, so that was good.
Yes, good, always,
good,
always.
Good, right there. That's pretty neat. That is pretty neat. Well, so just in a quick summary, Robert, mm-hmm. highlight the things that people should do for heat prevention for their animals and for themselves when they're out.
Stay out of the heat of the day, travel early, haul early, ride early or late. Keep cool water, you know, fresh cool water, both going down the human throat as well as the ponies as much as you possibly can, and give them a break. You know, the hottest day of the year is not the time to, you know, climb a mountain. You know, let's give the beasts a little bit of a break during the hot time, just like we would like. I guess that would have to be it. There's a lot of things that you can learn from your vet. I know Tina May brought up the cool water right behind their ears. You know, a lot of vascular tissue behind there, a lot of blood flow, you know, cool their system down. In the endurance world, it's not uncommon during hot rides that they will have a sponge on a string when they're crossing a river, you know.
Right.
Get some water on that and sponge them down. Now, I don't go that far, but you know, in camp, and Tina May will see it. You know, in my bear boxes, I have a sponge. Now, it's not something that you would want to clean yourself with, because it's at the bottom of my bear box, and you know, all sorts of crud down there. But by golly, I can take that and my collapsible bucket, and even in the backcountry, I can sponge my ponies down. I think they like it.
Yeah, there we go. Well, those are all good tips and all good things people need to keep in mind as they're riding in this hot August weather. And we can all look forward to the fall, which is my favorite time to be out on the trails. Hey, Robert, tell us what we can find on Trailmeister and give us your website.
Oh, trailmeister.com, www.trailmeister. The largest horse trail and horse camp guide in the whole entire world, and quite frankly, I think it's the best. Everything that you'd want to know before you haul, pictures of the trailhead, links to the land manager, what the rules are, if there's water, imagine that, after just talking about it.
Right.
I just used it today. I'm heading out this weekend for a quick trip. And I called the land manager. Hey, is water still available? You know, is the well pump still working? You know, is the stream still running? You know, because I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, that type of information, and it's free. So
please give it a
visit.
It is a great website. People need to visit trailmeister.com and like Robert on his Facebook page as well. And in just a couple more weeks, we're going to have you back, and you and Tina and Andy are going to tell us about your trip together up into the Bob Marshall. So we look forward to that.
And I'm looking forward to talking about it.
All right.
Lots of to tell.
All right. We'll talk with you soon, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And when we come back, we're going to be traveling to Arkansas and visit John Stallings and Barry McElfish at Cowboy Up Trails Campground. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks.
Thanks, Robert.
I'm riding down a blue canyon where I used to ride, stirrup with you, riding down a blue canyon on a trail. You now for so long, finding out I'm not so strong. Sound of my saddle creaking just puts me to thinking about the good years that we had, when we shared the good and the bad. Thought forever we down this canyon side by side, knee to knee, hand in hand, riding quiet in the beauty of the land. I'm riding down a blue canyon where I used to ride, stirrup to stirrup down a blue canyon on a trail that's lonesome and blue. Coyote calls for its mate, such a mournful cry on a ridgetop. Singing gifts that your arms were bringing, and the good love that we made when we shared the good and the bad. Thought forever we would ride down this canyon side by side, knee to knee, hand in hand.
Robert and her great song Blue Canyon, and we're going to find out if they've got some of those canyons out in Arkansas. We're going to welcome to the show now John Stallings and Barry McElfish. Guys, welcome to the show.
Well, how you doing?
Good.
Hi,
good.
Guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
All right. Well, we are looking forward to finding out everything there is to know about Cowboy Up Trails Campground. And John, why don't you just kind of start out and tell us a little bit about your background with horses and how Cowboy Up Trails came to be?
Okay, well, I've had horses all my life, and I started riding when I was just a little fella back at home. And I came up here turkey hunting and met Barry about 30 years ago. And we got hunting, and then we started riding horses together, and I started bringing friends up here, and it's a beautiful place to ride. It's Ozark Mountain, and a lot of good mountains, creek crossings, overlooks. And my friends started telling us that we all start a horse camp here. So they've been a lot of horse camps, and this is pretty country they've been on anywhere. So Barry and I started finding trails in the forest, and we spent several years just looking for trails and places to go where the most scenic and where the horse get up, and that's how we all started right here.
All right. And how long ago was that now?
Oh, it was probably 10 years ago.
Wow.
And we didn't really open it until I retired in 2011. And this was something that I dreamed of all my life, is having a horse camp or dealing with horses. I always liked horses and training them and riding them. So this is kind of a dream come true for me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I know Tina May likes to find out everything she can find out about the campgrounds and the trails. So, Tina May, jump right in there.
I sure will. Well, Barry and John, I'm glad to have you on the show. And I want to talk all about your Cowboy Up Trails. Tell us about the facilities. What do you have there at your camp?
We've got 18 hookups. They've got electric and water, 30-amp breakers on most of them. We do have some that have 50-amp breakers for the bigger rigs. We have big rigs in here. And we've got a bathhouse that's got modern showers and a sewer dump for where they dump it before they leave on the road with the trailers. And we've got a real pretty trail. We've got good maps, and the trails are well marked. And pretty country.
Have you got some cabins?
Not yet. We have plans of making bunk houses in the future. And we're also have pens for the horses right now. And we're hoping this winter to put in a barn. We have covered stalls, and that's
okay. So you're just continuing to improve the place as well as we go along.
Oh, yeah, work never quits.
Okay, and so you have these. You're big rig friendly. Do you have some drive-through campsites?
No, they can drive in and back out, but not as far as right now. We don't have any drive-through, but it's
okay. Okay, but it is easy accommodation for some big rigs. Didn't you say you had like a? Yeah.
We've had big trailers. And 44, we had one here just the other day, a 44-footer with slide out there.
Wow.
And made it
wow.
So.
Well, let's talk about your trails. How many miles of trails you have? Let's talk about a little bit about that and the terrain on the trails for those that are coming from other places that's not familiar with Arkansas.
Okay. We have over 50 miles of marked trails, and they're well marked. So the ladies really like those because they don't worry about getting lost because they're marked good enough you won't get lost. And the trails are all color-coded. And then at each intersection, we have a number where it keeps you oriented on the map exactly where you are.
Now, that's neat.
We've got some trails that are a little challenging and a little steep. And we've got a lot of water crossing. We have a lot of scenic overlooks. And we've got a place up here called Pedestal Rock. And we have a trail going up from the bottom. It goes up to it's a scenic overlook. And it has caves where people can go in and several caves on it. And just a lot of things to see. A lot of old house places. chimneys, fireplaces are still there. Rock walls where the fields were. It's just a lot to see.
Well, and don't forget to tell folks about those old stills that used to be up there.
Oh, yeah.
I have found where old steel was up there at one time, back when they used to make a lot of whiskey up here, I guess. And you run on to, not very often, but you do run on to them where they find old whiskey saves, and you see the rocks where they had the pot up on it. So it's always next to the stream where they had the water to make the whiskey out of, I guess. But,
you have moonshine.
Yeah. That's back a long time ago, though.
I don't know. There's people today that make moonshine, and now they got it all kinds of flavors and stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and you said...
I'm sure there's some made up here.
As long as we don't ride up on an active one, we don't want to have to run off, so...
Oh, I don't think you would.
And you said you had a lot of water crossings and things, which people absolutely love water crossings with their horses. You got a few waterfalls that you can ride to as well, don't you?
Oh, yes, we've got when the water, after rain, especially when the waterfalls are really prettiest. And we've got Twin Falls on the Green Trail down here, and then we've got a what's called a mill hole down there where they, at one time, they had a sawmill, and the water wheel worked the saw blade to cut the logs for the house, and it worked off the water wheel off the water, as water power.
Oh, no, that's neat. That is really neat. And then, didn't you have some of the old camps there? You want to talk a little bit about those?
We're on Victor Road, and it was a Prescient is a CC camp, but it worked out for the government to pay people to come to work, and, you know, make roads.
Mm-hmm.
Russia, and then in World War II, it was converted to a German prisoner of war camp.
Wow, wow.
That's neat.
There's a lot of history around.
So you have a lot of very interesting things to see out on the trails.
Oh, yes.
And the terrain, I'm sure, pretty rocky. Do you recommend shoes on people's horses?
Yes. You just about have to have shoes or boots because it is in the Ozark Mountains. It's rocky. And,
And they have some sharp rocks, too. It's not just rocky. There's some sharp rocks in Arkansas.
Yeah.
All right. What about some other activities that you have there at your camp for people to do? Is there fishing? You've got water. Is there a good place for fishing or swimming?
Oh, yes, there's swimming holes around down below us. There's several swimming holes on the creek where people can ride and swim to, or, you know, play in the water, or you can eat fish the stream. The stream, North Fork down here, has smallmouth and rock bass and perch, and people like to wade fish or... It's a real good stream for that. And there's a lot people going around, you know, like the Elk Foundation of Jasper. There's, you know, places you can go to see elk. And we have a lot of wildlife. And occasionally you'll see a bear on the trail. But that's very seldom. He's supposed to see him. Bear, a few wild pigs, deer, quite a bit of wildlife.
Hey, we want to find out a little bit more about exactly where you're located, and I think you're in the Ozark National Forest, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We're in the Ozark National Forest. We're between Russell and Harrison off Highway 7.
All right. Well, we want to come back and talk a little bit more about that, but we have to take one of those quick breaks to help pay some bills and talk about one of our great sponsors, and that is Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online horse packing supply store, and with their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. Shop with Trailhead Supply online today at trailheadsupply.com. And when you come back, we're going to find out a little bit more about cowboy up trails in the Ozark National Forest. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
If the summer wind blows in something that grows into something that you can't quite name, and you feel the pride you just can't hide, like a wolf never meant to be tamed. But ooh,
it's a call of the wild.
If the whippoorwill calls and the thundering falls and rainbows to the sky, and you feel a thrill that sends up a chill when you hear the low of a wolf cry. But
it's a call of the wild.
When you feel the warm Santanas blowing, or see the crackling lightning break the sky, when you hear the raging rivers flowing, there's a love in the call of the wild that you can't deny. When you see a dewdrop sparkle like a diamond, when you hear a rippling stream, there's a time in the morning when the rustle of a new day wakes up a wondered and dream.
Ooh. And the call of the wild. When you feel the warm Santanas blowing, or see the crackling lightning break the sky, when you hear the raging rivers flowing, there's a love in the call of the wild that you can't deny.
When you see a dewdrop sparkle like a diamond, when you hear a rippling scream, there's a time in the morning when the rustle of a new day wakes up a wonderland dream. Blue.
And the call of the wild, rippling, flowing, thundering, blowing, wonderland call of the wild.
Well, we kind of went back and brought back an oldie, and that's the Sons of the Pioneers with a great song called Call of the Wild. And when you were talking about seeing a few bear out on the trail and the elk, it made me think of that song. So let's talk a little bit more about where you are in the Ozark National Forest and in some great history there. Barry, you might want to jump in on that.
Yeah, it's we're in the forest, but we're also in the center of Piney Creek, you know, management area. So this is a game management area. So that's why the game is popular here.
Mm-hmm.
This camp, there's, like John said, there's not much left, but just the footings and old cement slabs and stuff like that. And the pine trees are 12 inches around growing up through it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. But do you have a little... Can you tell our listeners a little more about the history of why those camps were formed and what they are about?
Well, the CC camps go way back where people could work and pay their taxes. That was during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And then Second World War, they brought in and made it into a German prisoner of war camp.
Wow.
And the funny thing I always think about that history is the Germans wouldn't go home. They said that then they got treated with Hitler, you know, or whatever. They stayed here. We have German community.
Wow. That is. That is kind of neat. So on the trails, you have quite a bit to see. People love having a destination. Going out on the horse. I mean, you can ride in the woods anywhere. I've been in Arkansas. I think Arkansas is beautiful territory to ride horses. And you've kind of got kind of a unique thing going there where you've got the CC camps, which is a neat part of history to go and see and ride and check out these foundations and just let your mind wander. And then you've also got destinations of caves. Do you have any caves that they can actually ride the horses into?
I think the park would let you.
Okay, so the horse can't actually go to the cave, and you got waterfalls, and you got things of that nature. What about, do you think you have trails for the novice all the way up to the experience?
We do. We have so many old logging roads in here, and some of them that I built myself. I've logged these woods, been here most of my life. And the trails, if you stay on the logging roads, which is the trails are marked on the map, color-coded, and you can, a novice could just ride flat for miles.
Well, that just brings me to another question. Are you wagon-friendly? Can people come with their horses and wagons and ride there?
It's all dirt roads. They sure could. They couldn't ride our trails because we made the trails to try to make it for horse people only.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to see a four-wheeler or a bicycle, nothing like that. So most of our horse trails are not wagon-friendly, but I have miles and miles of dirt roads and logging roads around my house.
Well, that's interesting because there's a lot of people, because there's not very many places for people that have the wagons to go to. And this might be just one more place that they can actually go with their horses, teams, and wagons. So that's kind of interesting. What about special events? Do you have special events that you have there?
We have not been in it long enough, but we have people have been coming up here and doing their endurance ride. They was talking to us if they could set up here for an endurance ride, and we have that, but we're just starting.
Awesome. All right, what about other area attractions within your area? Because sometimes there's a significant other that, you know, you have one that's a horse rider, and then sometimes you have a significant other that's not much into the horseback riding, but they like to maybe sightsee or do some other things. What are some other area attractions that you have locally?
There's several. Just out from our horse camp, six miles or approximately, it's a scenic Highway 7. And it goes up into Jasper and Harrison. There's caves, there's gift shops, there's one place they call the Arkansas Grand Canyon. And they build a restaurant on the bluff. But people like to get up and have breakfast on a huge bluff. They can go eat there. We still have the original drive-in movie.
Oh, wow.
Neat. We actually have a couple of those still here, so that's always interesting to still go back and watch a movie through your car. That's pretty cool.
Hour and a half drive, you can be in Branson, which that's unlimited, which you could play there.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell everybody more specifically, you said you're between Russell and Harrison, you're off of Highway 7. So you're an hour and a half from Branson?
Uh-huh. And just below the Buffalo River. And that's canoeing, swimming, parks. You know, Buffalo River is pretty. Zip lines. There's lots of stuff. Canoeing.
There's just all kinds of activities. Do you have canoeing or kayaking? I haven't heard anything about that.
You can kayak the river here by the camp when the water's up. You can do it any time. Kayaks go pretty shallow water, but you may have to carry it a bit.
Okay.
So you've got the canoes, you've got the zip lines, you've got fishing that's there. I think you also mentioned that you're fairly close to golf courses. A lot of times these guys like to get out and let the wife ride and go to golf courses. So you've got several golf courses there?
There's one in Russell, a nice one in Russellville.
Okay, all right.
35 mile drive.
And you cannot be in the Ozarks without a little bluegrass and some bluegrass music. Are there some places that have festivals that are taking place during the course of the year and other activities, antique shops?
there is, we have two. There's one on Highway 7. That's not like a festival. They just play bluegrass all the time.
Okay.
It's a nice place. You can get a burger. And then we have the famous Mountain View. That's the Mountain View Folk Festival.
Oh, wow. Now, what time of the year does that take place, Barry?
Don't know the exact date, but I'm pretty sure it's in July.
Okay. All right. Well, there are just tons of things to see and do. Of course, you've got so many beautiful trails and so much around your place that folks don't have to go far looking for entertainment, but you are close enough that they can take a little half-day trip or something and visit Branson and some of these other activities that they would want to get involved in. And you guys have got a great, great website. You've got just some, I mean, if you want to get your bucket list to grow, you need to visit the website and look at some of the great photographs they have, because you've got absolutely beautiful photography. I don't know who your photographer is, but they've done a great job of putting things together so you can see the scenery and the waterfalls and the rock formations and everything that there is to see and do at Cowboy Up Trails. And you want to give us that website address?
Okay, cowboyuptrails.com.
Okay. That's pretty easy to remember, cowboyuptrails.com. And then you also have a Facebook page as well, and people can go over and like it. I know we all love being liked on Facebook. And what is your season? I don't think we've asked. When are you open?
We're open mostly around. We close 1 week at the starting of gun deer season.
Okay.
You know, there's people hunting, and we just fear, you know, being riding out there with people shooting guns.
Right.
Not a good mix.
No. And after the first week, they can ride, but they need to wear blaze orange and be very safe.
Okay. All right. So for
that, but year-round.
All right. So for a year-round riding destination and a great place to get away and enjoy some gorgeous trails that are suitable for every rider level, you can visit Cowboy Up Trails Campground and visit their website. And if you had a guy that wanted to come in and get you to guide them on to see some of these sites like the Moonshine Steels, can you take us out?
We can take you out. We could ride with you and take you out. We sure could.
All right. Now, I don't want you to take me to an active steel because that could get us all in trouble.
Unless it's your own.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you guys have been great guests, and we've enjoyed finding out more about Cowboy Up Trails, and we'd encourage folks to put that on their bucket list, visit their website, cowboyuptrails.com. And be sure and look up Barry and Johnny, because these are some great guys. And I know that everybody's going to have a great time riding in the Ozarks at Cowboy Up Trails. Guys, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, John. Hope to see you soon.
Okay, come see us. We'd love to have you.
All right, thanks so much. And we're going to take just a real quick break and come back and talk more with Tina May on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and remind you that we're brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online packing supply store. You can shop with them at trailheadsupply.com, and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more about them today at trailguard.org. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I'm lonesome but happy, rich but I'm broke, and the good Lord knows the reason. I'm just a cowboy. From Cheyenne to Douglas, all the ranges I know, 'cause I drift with the wind, no one cares where I go. time in these old wore-out jeans. So I'll stop eating steak and I'll go back to beans. But I'll pick up a 10-spot in Prescott, I know, or open some calves in the big rodeo. Well, it's north in the spring if there ain't a big drought. And as soon as it frosts, I'll be heading back south. But I ain't gotta worry, 'cause I ain't got time. I'm too busy a-living this free life of mine. Some evening in the springtime, a filly I'll find, and I might spend all summer with her on my mind. But I'll never be branded, and never carefree range riding, drifting cowpoke.
He's a drifting cowpoke.
That is our friend, the legendary Johnny Western, and his song, Cowpoke. And Tina May, this has been a fun show.
Yes, it has.
Been a fun show. A lot of good information from Robert, as always. And Cowboy Up Trails is certainly a place to go and visit. I mean, they really have a great website. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place that they have there.
Well, Arkansas is gorgeous to ride. I always call it the mini little Colorado without the big mountains. But it's, I mean, it's beautiful. It's lots of water crossings in this area and things to see and waterfalls. And those camps are kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of history back up through there. I could not have imagined that there was a German prisoner of war camp there. But you know, another piece of history that we learned today. So that's pretty cool, pretty cool. Well, you know what is interesting to me is that this has been a very, very fast 12 months.
Yes, and it has.
Saddle Up America is 1 year old. So happy birthday, Tina May.
Well, thank you. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, you'll never be a year old again. So
that's this is true.
But anyway, it's been a lot of fun with Saddle Up America, and gosh, time just flies so quickly, and so many great guests and so many great riding destinations that we visited, and gosh, who knows what the next year will hold. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun on Saddle Up America. And you know, we need to tell folks a little bit about our Legacy Club.
Absolutely. Our Legacy Club is free. The Legacy Club offers its members great discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and even Western Adventures. As a Legacy Club member, you are automatically entered into our drawings for free prizes, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from a premier sponsor, Hydro Horse. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
All right, so join the Legacy Club, and doesn't make any difference where you are in the world. Last month, our winner for the monthly drawing was from the Netherlands, and so join the Legacy Club. It's free, No reason not to do that. You can do that at equestrianlegacy.net. And we want to remind you, too, that the Saddle Up America program is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And so 1 year behind us, and we're starting into our 53rd show next week.
Wow.
53rd
show.
Wow.
Next week. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So who do we have joining us next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, we have Susanna Gibson, publisher and founder of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to the, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly, Adirondack Mountains in New York and talk with Karen Guru and Liz Hershey at Otter Creek Horse Trails.
All right. So that is the Adirondack Mountains in New York, and so that's going to be a fun visit with those folks. And next Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, we're going to be joined by the award-winning Kristen Harris, and we'll be introducing her new CD called Down the Trail. And so we'll have Kristen join us as our guest for the first half of Campfire Cafe, and then we'll be joined by John Coles, and we'll be visiting with some of the clinicians and talking about the new Tennessee Horse Expo that comes up later in October at the Williamson County Agriculture and Expo Center. So that is going to be a good show next Thursday at noon on the Campfire Cafe. And then, of course, as always, a great, great way to start your Sunday and your new week is with Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, and that's at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Any final thoughts for today?
Just for folks that's going out and riding, just be prepared. Always, you know, think ahead on what could happen.
All right, all right. So good thoughts, and stay safe, stay cool during this warm weather in August. And we want to remind folks, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And so we'll close the show today with a great song from our friend Bryn Hill. It's called Rawhide Braider. And as always, we thank you for joining us on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
To wander too late. Spend most of my Sundays in his school of life. He'd share of the things that he knew. And I found that most guys that I'd long idolized learned their rawhide under him too. Prepare the hide well, keep your blade sharp as hell. Damper the strings almost dry. Take time to lay every string tight and straight. Make something that's worthy of pride. We'll live long after you die. Over to wander, too late, pull again. I will teach you Riyadh, my friend. One day we are all dust in the wind. Over to wander, too late, pull again. Over to wander.